Father, we come before you and we thank you again for this evening that you've given us. Lord, I pray now for this teaching on referencing chapter 36. God is a verb, and I just pray for your anointing on it and that you would speak to us mightily through this story that we're going to look at this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm in 1 Kings 18. Something Pat mentioned, and I just couldn't shake it. And that was Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I mean, just totally what he's talking about. One of Aesop's fables is a story of the dog who saw his image reflected in a pool of water beneath his feet. Though he had already had a bone, he was jealous of the bone he saw in the other dog's mouth. He opened his jaws to snarl and snatch at the bone's reflection and, of course, lost his own bone when it fell in the water. How accurately that pictures the church in Laodicea. Not satisfied with God's promises, the church in this wealthy Roman city sought for and acquired earthly power through wealth. But she had, in reality, become poor. And in her end, her wealth would be denied her. You know, Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 14 and 17, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness and beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Elisha came to the Jewish people, and he saw the worship, the Baal worship that was going on. And he said, "How long are you going to struggle in between the two? Between the true God of Israel and Baal?" So let me set the stage here. First, there's been no rain on the land at Elijah's word. Secondly, as a result, of course, there's been a famine in the land for 3 years now. Third, Israel was in a declining state. Baal worship. Fourth, they're worshiping the two calves and not in the temple in Jerusalem. And fifth, God now tells Elijah to present himself to King Ahab. A Bible teacher named Vance Havner said, "Elijah was not on Carmel to demonstrate what he could do, but what God could do." You know, we know the people worship God to please the prophets. We know that. But they were worshiping Baal to please King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. They were trying to ride both sides of the fence. But you know, Jesus drew the distinction in Mark 9, verses 38 to 40. "Now John answered Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him, because he does not follow us.' But Jesus said, 'Do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side.'" In 1 Kings 18, verse 20, in the original Hebrew text of the Old Testament, it tells us Carmel meant the Park of Palestine. The Park of Palestine. And it was called that because of its luxuriant vegetation. Well, this is where Baal worship was taking place. Baal is a common Canaanite word for master lord. He was a farm god who gave increase to family, fields, flocks, and herds. You know, it just brought back to my remembrance a scripture that really resonated with me the first time I ever read through the Bible. And it's in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. where Joshua said, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, the people could say nothing to justify themselves, and they wouldn't say anything to condemn themselves. They were confused and just said nothing. The king and court were for Baal, and unfortunately, the reason why Elijah is there, so were the people. Baal's cause had 450 men besides 400 supporters. For God's cause, there was only one man, Elijah. I love what Jonathan, King Saul's son, said in 1 Samuel 14:6. I love this. "For nothing restrains the Lord from saving, by many or by few." Here, they're getting ready to set up these two sacrifices. Elijah says, "You take a bull, I'll take a bull, and we'll set up and we'll go ahead and work it to where the God who answers by fire, he is God." And the people said, "You say correctly." Well, in scripture, fire speaks of purification or cleansing, but it also speaks of judgment. Atonement was made by sacrifice before the judgment could be removed in mercy. Think about that when Christ died for us. Atonement was made by sacrifice before the judgment could be removed in mercy. In verse 25 and 26, it says, "Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bull for yourselves, prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.' So they took the bull which was given them, they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made." I mean, these guys start cutting themselves with knives and lances, which would show a demon-possessed person. It finally got to where the people weren't even paying attention anymore. I like what this one commentator said. He said they would start off with howling, then they would rush wildly in perfect confusion, with their heads bowed down to the ground, but always revolving in circles, so that the loosened hair drags through the mud. Then they begin to bite their arms, and then with cutting themselves with two-edged swords, which they were in the habit of carrying. Then one of them, who surpasses all the rest in frenzy, begins to prophesy with sighs and groans." It's amazing what these guys were doing to try to get Baal's attention. You know, it's pretty interesting because I looked at some of the passage in the original language and where Elijah starts mocking the prophets of Baal. He says in one place, maybe he's busy. And I looked at what's he meaning, maybe he's busy. And if you go back into the original language, Elijah is saying maybe he's sitting on the head. Just mocking these guys. Deuteronomy 14:1 says, "You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead." You know, it made me reflect back when I first got saved. I was teaching at a place in San Dimas called Glen Rocky. It was a lockdown camp for teenage guys who were in gangs. Some of them had committed murder. They were waiting to turn 18 to be transferred to Chino Prison. Well, one of the guys, a guy named Shorty, whose mother was a satanic high priest, he cursed me by Satan. And he said, "You will be dead in 2 weeks." Well, that was over 40 years ago. Revelation 13, verse 13 and 14 says, "He," speaking of the beast, "performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived." This is what's going to happen in the tribulation period, where the Antichrist is actually going to be able to do what the prophets of Baal weren't able to do. Well, now it's Elijah's turn. So he repairs an altar which had formerly been used in the Lord's service. And the reason why he did that, he wanted to revive the faith and worship of their father's God, Israel's God. He wanted to get them back to their first love in their first works. I love that. He wanted to reveal to them the only and true God of the Bible. The problem with the church in Ephesus was that they had lost their first love. Well, in verse 31, we pick up Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, 12 tribes, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. That was pretty big. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bowl in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. So the whole offering is underwater. The whole thing's underwater. Just for proof to the children of Israel that this wasn't magic, that Satan wasn't trying to do something. Only the true God could do this. Now here's what you got to keep in mind. Elijah wasn't a priest, nor were those helping him Levites. Carmel had no tabernacle or temple. In fact, it wasn't even near the Ark of the Testimony and the place God had chosen, which was Jerusalem. This wasn't the altar that sanctified the gift. And yet, never was any sacrifice more acceptable to God than this one here. You know what was happening? Restoration. Restoration to the true God. Jude verses 20 to 23 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." This is what Elijah was attempting to do. Elijah pleads 2 things. First, he pleads the glory of God. And secondly, the edification of the people. While he's still speaking, while he's still praying to the God of the Bible, the true God, the fire of God falls. It falls, it licks up the water, the wood, the offering, the bowl, everything. The dirt, everything was consumed. Well, verse 40 tells us the prophets of Baal, the criminals, they're seized, they're condemned, and they're executed by Elijah according to the law, Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 11. I want to close with what Jesus said would happen if we were lukewarm. We read the first part in the beginning. Here's the last part, Revelation 3, verses 18 to 22. Jesus said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There is only one God. We can get sidetracked and we can choose a God of our own making, just as the children of Israel were doing. But there's always going to be someone there that's going to pull you back in to alignment. Someone who is living for and serving the true God of the Bible. And they'll reach out for you. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for Elijah and the prophets of Baal, this passage that you laid on my heart to share in reference to Patrick's chapter 36, God as a verb. And Father, I pray for those who are listening to this teaching, God, that you would draw them even into a tighter and closer relationship with you, Father, the only true God that we need to know. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.